भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, The Rainy Season in Autumn, Text Number 22. Sarasu, or Sarasu, Ashanta, Rodasu, Nyusu, Anga, Api, Sarasa, Griheshu, Ashanta, Kriyeshu, Gramya, Iva, Durashaya. Sarasvashanta Rodashu, Nyusur Angapi Sarasa Griheshva Shanta Kriyeshu Gramhya Iva Durashaya Sarasvan Shanta Rodasu Nyusurangapi Sarasa Griheshva Shanta Kriyeshu Gramya Iva Durashaya Sarasva Shanta Rodashu Nyusurangapi Sarasa Griheshva Shanta Kriyeshu Gramya Iva Durashaya Sarasu Upon the lakes Ashanta Disturbed Rodasu, whose banks, Nyushu, continue to dwell. Angar, my dear king. Api, indeed. Sarasa, the cranes. Griheshu, in their homes. Ashanta, feverish, Kriyeshu, where activities are performed. Gramya, materialistic men. Eva, indeed. Durashaya, whose minds are contaminated. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The cranes, by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The cranes continue dwelling on the shores of the lakes. Although the shores were agitated during the rainy season, just as materialistic persons with contaminated minds always remain at home, despite the many disturbances there. Please repeat. The cranes continue dwelling on the shores of the lakes. Although the shores were agitated during the rainy season. Just as materialistic persons with contaminated minds always remain at home despite the many disturbances there. Purport. During the rainy season, there are often mudslides around the shores of lakes and thorny bushes, stones, and other debris sometimes accumulate there. Despite all these inconveniences, ducks and cranes continue meandering around the lake shores. Similarly, innumerable painful occurrences are always disturbing family life. But a materialistic man never even considers leaving his family in the hands of his grown sons and going away for spiritual advancement. He regards such an idea as shocking and uncivilized because he is completely ignorant of the absolute truth and his relationship to that truth. This is from the Light of the Bhagavat. Prabhupada's translation. The crane stands on the edge of a pond that is always disturbed by flowing water, mud, and stones. The crane is like a householder who is disturbed in the shelter of his home, but who, because of too much attachment, does not want to change his position. The forgetful householder life of the conditioned soul is a soul-killing dark well. This is the opinion of Sri Prahlad Maharaj, the celebrated devotee of the Lord. Too much attachment to hearth and home is never recommended by a self-realized soul. Therefore, the span of life should be methodically divided. The first stage is called Brahmachari Ashram, or the order of life in childhood, when the man-to-be is trained in the ultimate goal of life. The next stage is the Grihastha Ashram, in which the man is trained to enter into the transcendence. Then comes the Vanaprastha Ashram, the preliminary stage of renounced life. The last stage recommended is the Sannyasa order, or the renounced order of life. In this way, one accepts a gradual process of spiritual activities for the ultimate goal of liberation. Unfortunately, for want of sufficient culture of the human spirit, no one wants to give up the householder life, even though it's full of pinpricks and mud, and those who are too attached amidst the pinpricks of muddy householder life are compared to the cranes that stand on the bank of the river for some sense enjoyment, despite all the inconveniences there. We should always remember that the society, friendship, are only shadowy representatives of the real society, friendship, and love reciprocated in the kingdom of God. There is no reality in the conditioned life of material existence, but because of our ignorance, we are attached to the mirage. The idea of society, friendship, and love is not at all false, but the place where we search for it is false. We have to give up this false position and rise to the reality. That should be the aim of life, and that is the result of cultivating the human spirit. Unfortunately, for want of sufficient culture of the spirit, the materialistic man always sticks to this false place in spite of all its turmoils. It is said that a man should give up the order of household life at the age of 50. But in this era of ignorance, even an old man wants to rejuvenate his bodily functions, put on artificial teeth, and make a pretense of youthful life, even on the verge of death. Crane-like politicians especially are too much attached to the false prestige of position and rank, and so they always seek re-election even at the fag end of life. These are some of the symptoms of an uncultured life. Maum Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatim Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Desitarne. Modern society, this preaching is considered quite revolutionary. Or fanatical, depends how you want to look at it. Because Chintyam Aparayam Cha Pralayantam Upashitya Kama Paboga Paramam Etavam Itinischitya Asha Pasha Shutarabhada Kama Krodha Parayana. Ihanti kama bhogartha anye narta sanchaya. They believe that to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there can be no measurement for their anxiety. Being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense enjoyment. In other words, one who's in the Bali concept of life cannot conceive of anything beyond the Bali concept of life. And therefore, the idea of renouncing everything, what to speak of going to a forest, because nowadays people do go to the forest with their camper and they set with their portable video and television and their barbecue. That's the modern day vanaprastha. Their camera and whatever else. But the idea of going to a forest, putting on without any means of support, without any shelter, people think that this is barbaric. What would you do there anyhow? Without television, without the radio, without an electric, without a laundromat, what could you do there? Because the only thing they know is to serve this body. And if they're informed that they're spiritual beings, they think that, yes, I'm spirit. And for them it means their mind. They think spiritual means the mind. But their mind doesn't want to go to the forest either. But Prahlad Maharaj, a great devotee, told his father, Tatsara manye surya varya dehinam sadasa mudvigna dhyama satgrahat hitvatma patam griham andakupam gato dharam vanam gato yad dharim ashyeta. That as long as one identifies oneself with this body, there must be anxiety. There is no question of not being anxiety because the body is temporary. And everyone has to die, or everyone's body has to die. So if we're attached to the body, which is just only here very temporarily, we must be in great anxiety. If one thinks that the only existence is this body, and the body is rapidly disappearing, then how can we not be in anxiety? We think, I'm about to disappear. And who wants to disappear? Because if we disappear, then we can't enjoy. And if we can't enjoy, then we're in great anxiety. If we're eating an ice cream, there's some pleasure for eating the ice cream cone, but every lick brings one closer to the end of the ice cream cone, and therefore every lick produces some pleasure and some anxiety. Soon it's going to be gone. One devotee told me he used to work in an ice cream factory. And so he knew in the ice cream factory he had the key so he could go into the ice cream factory and eat as much ice cream as he wanted. But the only problem was that the ice cream factory, they only had, I guess here it would be not 10 liters, but 40 liter cans of ice cream. What's the difference between a liter and a gallon?
4 liters
and
a gallon.
Yeah, so it was 40 liters of ice cream. So him and his friend broke into an ice cream place. They didn't break in, he had the key, so he got there. But he said to his friend that we have to eat the whole 40 liters of ice cream. But that's only 20 liters apiece. He said the first few liters were quite ecstatic. The next few liters were not very nice. But they had to finish it. So by the end of the 40 liters, They were so disgusted with ice cream, he never ate ice cream again. So that's material life. Yehi samsparsha bhoga dukha yoni evite adyantavanta konteya nate shu ramate buddha. That intelligent person, he doesn't take part in the sources of misery, which are due to contact with the senses, with their objects. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise person doesn't delight in them. In other words, as long as we're attached to this body, we're going to have to suffer. And the reason why we're attached to this body is because we think that this body is our vehicle for enjoyment. Much of the Krishna conscious philosophy is to try to convince us it's not the vehicle for our enjoyment. It's not the wonderland we think it is, the playground we want to enjoy it. According to our what we say before, even when we take prasadam, the senses are all networks on the path to death. Sounds quite morose. The ghastly humor. But it is a fact that as long as we're attached, nashti buddhi yuktasya, na cha yuktasya bhavanaha, na cha bhavyantak shantir, ashantasya kutak sukham. That for one who's not in the divine consciousness or Krishna consciousness can have neither controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? In other words, as soon as we forget Krishna, as soon as we forget our identity as a spiritual soul, as soon as we enter into the realm of enjoyment, then our intelligence is not steady, nor is our mind controlled, and therefore there's no possibility of being peaceful. And if we're not peaceful, where is there any question of happiness? Therefore, brahmachari life, as mentioned here, is generally a preparation for household life. If we look around, we can see there's mostly white. It's not that everyone stays brahmachari. But brahmachari means, what is the training? The training is not to, well, brahmachari guru kule, dantam, vasam dantam gurahitam, asavan dasavanicho, guru saurida saurida. Sometimes we hear that the brahmachari should be trained up how to become a nice householder, whatever that means. No, it doesn't. Of course it is. Household life means dhanam, dhamma, and jaga. Sense and mind control, sacrifice and austerity. Therefore the brahmachari is brahmachari guru kule, vasan, danta. First thing he learns is how to control his mind and senses. Not that now I'm controlling my mind and senses, and when I get the opportunity, when I become a householder, then I'll enjoy like anything. Danta vasa gurahitam. And he should see his teacher as his friend, not this rascal, he's telling me so many things to do, I'm a servant here and there. One day I'll become the teacher and I can get all these little kids to do what I want them to, what I want them to do. So he's supposed to see the teacher as his friend. And with great humility, and he's supposed to engage in service with great vow and friendship to the spiritual master. Little different from modern society, where people think that the aim of education is simply to get the skill to make money, somehow or another, and then use that money for sense gratification. And liberation means to pay off your credit card. That's the maximum liberation that people can conceive of. But in household life, the idea is not, I'm going to learn household life by indulging my senses to the maximum, and when I get completely frustrated with my husband or wife, and the kids, then I'll renounce. When I'm so, I guess, burned out, they say, when I get completely burned out, then I'll take sannyas. And then after taking sannyas for some years, when I get my strength back, I'll get another wife. Now, success in household life will be that when the husband and wife, they follow the regular principles. They're called the regular principles of freedom. Not that they're, somehow or another, I got into this Hare Krishna movement, the movement of frustration, where I can't control my senses, and the worst thing is, I feel guilty about it all the time. Now, I want you to understand, if one's success in household life will be that one follows the principles, and therefore one can actually discriminate between what spiritual life is and material life. If one only engages in materialistic life, then there's no chance for spiritual life. And if there's no spiritual life, then there's no higher taste, and due to the nature of household life, there's the lower taste, ultimately. It is the taste, but it's not the higher taste. And then one ultimately generally becomes frustrated and thinks, the reason why I'm frustrated in the household life is I simply got the wrong wife, or I got the wrong husband. That's why I'm frustrated. So, next, if I can simply find my soulmate, then I'll actually be satisfied in household life, then I'll renounce. But actually, there is no satisfaction in household life. There can never be satisfaction, sense gratification. Even you get a license for sense gratification, it doesn't mean that the license automatically gives you satisfaction. When the Yamadutas come to take you away, saying you're engaged in too much sense gratification, you take out your license and say, but I was licensed for it. Therefore, how can you complain? No, the material nature works uniformly for everyone. There's no special constant dispensation for anyone in the material world. If we act appropriately, then we can come to Krishna consciousness. And when we associate with Krishna in pure consciousness, we can experience transcendental happiness. But Maya is always trying to trick us. Yoga, chalati, manasa. She's always trying to bewilder the practitioner by so many different allurements. Generally, it goes from gross, subtle to gross. We become a little proud, and then when we become a little proud for some reason or another, then we think, I'm such a powerful, intelligent, etc., personality, that why shouldn't I enjoy? I deserve it. And then one tries to enjoy, and one is not satisfied. Or if one is satisfied, because if one takes satisfaction of lust as satisfaction, then one becomes greedy to satisfy lust more. Because one thinks, oh, that was a very nice experience, so let me experience it more, and I'll be equally as nice. Just like the first 3 liters of ice cream are very nice. But that doesn't mean that the next 17 liters of ice cream are just going to be as nice. But one may try for it out of greed or out of obligation. And then one may become disgusted for some time, but then one will dream about how nice the first 3 liters were. And again, one will be attracted to eating ice cream in some future time, forgetting all the other suffering. Maya doesn't usually remind us, don't do it, you'll suffer. No, she says, oh, the suffering wasn't very much. It was the enjoyment that was great. So one has to become convinced of this process, but above everything, well, not above everything, shadavan labhate jnanam tat para samatendriya jnana labha param chandim achare nadigachati. That a faithful person who is absorbed in transcendental knowledge and who subdues the senses quickly attains the supreme transcendental peace. So theoretically we have to hear this philosophy and then we have to practice it. So Prabhupada said, a faithful person is one who chants, who believes that simply by chanting Hare Krishna and engaging in devotional service, one will get the highest perfection of life. But over above this, one has to also control the senses. That means to utilize them in Krishna's service. And if we do that and get the higher taste, actually become Krishna conscious, then our relationship with everyone should improve. In other words, it is not that the actual essence that we're looking for, namely loving or affectionate relations with others, will diminish by following the process of Krishna consciousness, but our actual affection for others will be awakened. If we love Krishna, yoga, yukta, vishuddhatma, vidhitatma, jitendriya, sarabhutatma, bhutatma, korvanatni lipite, that one who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a person is never entangled. If we act in Krishna consciousness in any stage of life, then the result is that our senses and mind engaged in Krishna service will be factually controlled and will become dear to everyone, and everyone will become dear to us. Not only the family, but everyone will become dear to us. And if we don't control our mind and senses, and we act whimsically according to the dictation of the mind and senses, then factually no one will become dear to me except for myself. And ultimately we'll be disgusted with everyone, even our dear body, which we're working so hard to utilize for our enjoyment, will ultimately be the source of our suffering. Therefore, the conclusion is we don't really have a choice. Maya just tells us we have a choice. And if we do have a choice, if we take the wrong choice, we will be in trouble, no matter how many scientific studies prove that smoking cigarettes is good for your health. And there are scientific studies like that. Drinking wine is especially good for your heart. No problem with illicit sex. You can have as much as you want. And if, as it says, Prabhupada writes in his purport, if you get worn out, they'll give you a new set. Don't worry. And meat eating, that's healthy, strong. You can kill as many animals as you want, and it's all right. There's no problem. Eat as much as you want. Sleep as much as you can. Have as much sex. And if there's any problem, take out a loan and pay for it. Buy the loan away. Buy the problem away. And if the Yamadutas come, take out your license or give them a good bribe. If you have enough in the bank, you can split it with them. So when it does, that's not the way the material nature works. Any scientific study can't change the laws of material nature. It's not a democratic universe where people can vote out the laws of nature or change them. They work the same way since Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. They're going to work even during our lifetime and beyond it. Therefore, one should try to understand how the material nature works, how illusion works, and try to take shelter of Krishna because he's the only one who can actually help us so that we'll get the spiritual strength so we don't have to serve illusion. We can actually serve reality and come to an actual platform where we can have proper relationships with all living entities, properly honor, respect them, eventually develop affection and even love for all living entities, practically on the same level that we can develop love for Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Comments? Yes.
Maharaj, can you compare the story of the cranes dwelling on the shores of the lakes to how we are attached to the body as well? It's not just kind of general.
Yeah, the body is the first house we're all living in. Grihastha means we're in a body and we're attached to us. Just like we decorate the house and we fix it up and we do so many things for the house. We live in the house, so we're living in the body. That's the first house we live in. And then it expands. Someone gets married, they have a wife or a husband and children, really to just take care of their house. Not only the house they're living in, but to take care, they're thinking, when we get old, the children will take care of us. Or so many things. So subtly, grossly, we're attached to other things because they relate to the body, or we're attached to the body because we think it's the shelter of the soul, ourselves. We think that this body is our shelter. And if someone tells us it's not a very good shelter, Dharashaya, it's a bad shelter, because Nite Vidu Swarthikateem Vivishnu, we don't know that the actual goal is to take shelter of Krishna rather than this temporary body. Anything else? Yes.
I was wondering, because you mentioned that we have to lie on and find any satisfaction. So
I didn't say any satisfaction, ultimate satisfaction.
Well, but I was wondering if you were specifically referring to Griha Satsang or Griha Vaidhi Ashram.
Griha, well, there's a difference. Grihastha ashram means the house, the husband and wife live together to please Krishna. So that's a spiritual ashram. But we can't mix the two together, Grihamedi and Grihastha, thinking, well, just like there is sometimes the brahmacharis, and they try and mix Grihastha life with it, like bachelors. So Griha and brahmachari plus Grihastha means brahmastra. They're about to explode. So if we're actually grihasthas living in household life for spiritual advancement, then it's not, it's spiritual. Then the higher taste is there all the time. But generally we're practicing to come to that. So we should become convinced that household life is a spiritual ashram and live life according to that, and that's the way the husband and the wife can satisfy each other to the highest degree, and the children, everyone, can do their duty to society and to each other by actually living Grihastha Ashram.
So, in light of Sutra's other instructions in the first canto, which is how do we understand that we don't achieve wholesome satisfaction in the ashram?
We don't.
Just simply what you're saying, if I understood
correctly. No, I said, if you're living in Grihamedi Ashram, if you're living thinking that Grihastha Ashram is the object of my enjoyment, that's Grihamedi. So it's up to the devotees to actually set the example for Grihastha Ashram, where the wife and husband live together peacefully. They have children, they maintain their house, but it's all in relation to Krishna. So that will be seen, just like we have children, they should be, the idea of having children is to raise them in Krishna consciousness. But if I'm training my children for some other reason, then it's not a complete ashram. So in order to be complete, to actually be on a high level of Grihastha Ashram, it should be everything, the house should be utilized for Krishna, the wife and the husband engage in Krishna service, and the children also engage in Krishna service. Yes.
In the second canto of the time, Prabhupada explains that desires for adoration, distinction, these are subtle forms of sex desires. Why is that?
Because that's the way Krishna made everything. This whole material universe is simply the perverted pastime of Radha and Krishna, ultimately, and their companions. So part of that is it's all emotional. It's all on an emotional platform. So Radha and Krishna are the supreme. So we have to be, if we're actually going to think ourselves to be Radha and Krishna, we have to think ourselves to be supreme. And that has to be confirmed by others. They have to adore us and worship us. And then it's a real, then you really feel like Radha and Krishna. So you need some fans, you need some servants, you need some paraphernalia. Even if it's only the parakeet chanting of glory, someone has to do it. or the dog who comes and sees, every time the dog sees you, he wags his tail. So he's a member of your fan club. Someone has to confirm that you're actually the greatest. And without some profit, no one's going to think like that. If you don't feed the dog, he's not going to wag his tail, he'll bite you. You have to supply your great, the greatness in the material world depends upon your ability to satisfy other people's senses. If you can't satisfy the senses, they think you're just a useless person. Anything else? Okay. Grandharash, thank you very much. Grandharash Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.